The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ciao and welcome back to Simply Serie A, the Italian football podcast brought to you by 90 Min. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simu, and I'm delighted to be joined once again this morning by the brilliant Vittorio Campanile. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thanks. What about yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, my friend, not too bad. And we were very lucky yesterday, weren't we? We had a full program of Serie A football to get our teeth into on a Wednesday. What more do you want than that, Vittorio? Sitting at home on a Wednesday all day watching football.
Yeah, you know, it's like getting back to the 80s where every single match was in the same day. It's a big holiday. Yesterday is Epiphany here, so, you know, it's good to be at home with your family and watch some great football, because there were some very interesting matches yesterday.
There were indeed. Let's just quickly run you through yesterday's results and then we'll pick a few games to have a little bit of a deep dive on. It was Atalanta 3, Parma 0, Bologna 2, Udinese 2, Cagliari 1, Benevento 2, Crotone 1, Roma 3, Lazio 2, Fiorentina 1. That would have put a smile on Vittorio's face. Milan 1, Juventus 3, Napoli 1, Spezia 2, Sampdoria 2, Inter 1, Sassuolo 2, Genoa 1, and Torino 1, Verona 1. Some of those results would have definitely caught you guys' ears, and I'm sure we are going to discuss the big game between Milan and Juventus. We're going to discuss Inter's problems as well, but I want to start, Vittorio, with something a little bit different. I want to start by talking a little bit about Benevento, managed by Filippo Inzaghi. 2-1 win at Cagliari yesterday, and they're in 10th place at the moment, Vittorio. They're having a very good season by their standards.
Definitely, definitely. And it's a surprise, but you could see it coming. I mean, Filippo Inzaghi started with AC Milan. I thought it was, they rushed him a little bit. You need, as a manager, to make experience. Instead, he did 1 year with Primavera, and then immediately with the first squad. And I thought you can see that he struggled. He had a lot of problems. He lack of experience, because people think, okay, if you are a great football player, then you're going to become a great manager. It's not that. It's completely different. You know, if you're a football player, you can you don't have the experience of managing a team. And that's what happened with Filippo Inzaghi. I think he went in a lowest league with Venezia, etc. He did very well last year with Benevento. So I'm not surprised. Benevento is a tough team. We saw this year getting points against big team, even against Lazio, unfortunately. So, yes, it's a very difficult team. Everybody talk about it. They have some even, you know, experienced players, some players that are doing very well, like Lapadula, who is not a top striker, but it's a player who fights, who helped the team when they're defending. They have the brother of Insigne, Roberto, who is a very interesting player. So they have Glick, that maybe Serie A fans will remember him when he was playing with Torino, or when he was playing with Monaco in France. So it's an interesting team. We're not talking about, obviously, a Champions League level team, but I think they will have no problem at all to stay in Serie A this year.
Yeah, absolutely. And credit to Filippo Inzaghi, because as you said, there were many people, weren't there, Vittorio, who felt that as a manager, he had already failed and that there was no way of him turning this around. He's gone back to basics. He dropped down a couple of levels and now he's doing really well with Benevento. And I would predict, and I don't know if you feel the same, it won't be too long before Filippo Inzaghi goes on to do what his brother's done and manage one of Italy's biggest clubs.
Yes, the problem with that is he already had the experience with AC Milan, so maybe a couple of teams could be scared of giving him another chance. I think, though, that he proved to be ready now for a big club. I don't know, seeing Fiorentina struggling that much, that could be his next team maybe in 1 year time. So, again, people don't understand that experience is very important. Inzaghi lack of experience when he went to Milan, a little bit like Andrea Pirlo, right, with Juventus. You can see making him some mistakes. So I think now he's ready for a big team. So that's going to be really exciting. Because one thing everybody said about Filippo Inzaghi is that he's a football maniac. He eat and breathe football 24 hours a day. So it was a little bit concerning, surprising, seeing him not performing as well as expected as a manager. Now things are improving. And yes, you can see a bright future for him in the next coming years.
Yep, you can indeed. Just a quick reminder to those of you joining us, if you haven't already, subscribe to Simply Serie A on all major podcast stores. Follow us on Twitter at Simply Serie A. Follow Vittorio at Vittorio Campa. And if you haven't already, please check out our YouTube channel as well. The shows will be going on our YouTube channel too. So head over to Simply Serie A on YouTube and get involved in the program. Really, really appreciate your support. Vittorio, let's move on to what was probably, well, I would say definitely the shock of the round. And that was Spezia's 2-1 win at Napoli. We were talking about Gattuso on the last show. We were talking about the fact that we still weren't 100% sure about him. Napoli took the lead in this one through Petagna, but Enzola and Pobega scored for Spezia to ensure that they took all 3 points. Massive result for them, isn't it?
Definitely, definitely. We have to say one thing, that without the fans in the stadium, playing at home isn't anymore the advantage that was last year when there was the fans, especially playing in stadium like San Paolo or the Olimpico in Rome. It's completely different now without fans. So home advantage is not that big anymore. But it's surprising because, you know, big teams, they go ahead and then they control the match. Napoli didn't do it. We said it last time, I'm not convinced about Rino Gattuso. And unfortunately, he's proving me right. He said that the two goals were two big mistakes about his defense. And we have to be honest, it was getting a goal in the last minute of the match from Spezia is terrible. But this team is struggling. I said it already. Napoli has huge talent and it's not able to perform at that level. Let's not forget, they signed Manolas and everybody said, Napoli with Manolas and Koulibaly, the defense is going to be unbelievable. Instead, since they signed Manolas, they start to allow stupid goals every single week. Napoli defense is struggling. He keeps changing the goalkeeper. Yesterday, Ospina was playing. Then the other match, Meret was playing, etc. He's not able to find a balance to this team. And you look and you have Lozano, that is playing great football, Zielinski, Insigne, Fabian, Mario Rui, etc. A lot of talent, and you're able to lose against Spezia. This is simply unacceptable. We can talk about the penalty. It was a little bit soft, but still, that's a stupid mistake an experienced team like Napoli shouldn't make. And, you know, it's funny because a couple of months ago, people was believing that Napoli could fight for the Scudetto. Now, 2 months later, people are thinking about the Champions League this year.
Yeah, it's... It's worrying for Napoli. You're right. I think, you know, we touched on it last week or earlier in the week. It feels like last week, but we're doing two shows this week because there is so much football. But it felt like, you know, you were onto something when you said that the talent is there, but they're not necessarily grinding out the results that they should be. And a defeat at home to Spezia, and with all due respect to Spezia, they're a side a lot of people, well, they are fighting for survival, aren't they? They will be come the end of the season. So it's a great shock, and particularly at the San Paolo. But as you said, we have to take into consideration that, of course, there are no fans in the stadium. Going to the San Paolo, I still call it that, even though they renamed it.
Yeah, Maradona. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, exactly. Going there is not as, I guess, as scary as it once was, without the fans in the stadium. Let's move on a little bit. We're going to talk about sort of matters towards the top end of the table now. And of course, one of the things we pointed out on the last show again was that Inter like to do things the hard way. And of course, yes. Inter suffered a 2-1 defeat at Sampdoria, Claudio Ranieri's side getting the better of Antonio Conte's. And it was Candreva and Keita. Candreva, of course, on loan from Inter, and Keita, a former Inter man, who really increased the problems on Antonio Conte. And with Milan and Juve scheduled to play later on that day, at the time it felt, didn't it, Vittorio, like a really big opportunity missed.
Massively opportunity missed by Inter. And it's funny because two former players of Inter gave Sampdoria 3 points, three very important points. And hello to Tommy. I think he's very happy today.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
But we said it. Inter has a big team. You know, they have so many quality players. And still, they're not playing great football. A lot of English fans will remember Claudio Ranieri. He's a very good manager. He can make your life harder, even with a team that is not amazing like Sampdoria. And that's what happened. Ranieri organized very well Sampdoria. It's true that, let's not forget it, Inter had a huge chance. They missed a penalty with Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah.
And you can say that changed the match, because Inter missed a penalty, then Sampdoria had a penalty, and Candreva scored. So in Serie A, you won't have a lot of chances, because every team, and we saw it with Benevento, with Spezia, these are small teams that are very, very well organized in defense. That's the biggest difference between Serie A and all the other football leagues, right? In Serie A, every small team is very well organized, especially in defense. Maybe they're not very offensive-minded, even if things have changed in the last years, but Ranieri is the typical coach that will make your life harder, and this is what happened. Inter, a little bit like Napoli, are making silly mistakes when they're defending. We saw it last week. Well, last match, they struggle at home. And this is what happened against Sampdoria. Again, it's strange because, as I said in the last podcast, I think Inter is the best team to fight, the team best suited to fight with Juventus till the end of the season for the Scudetto. But if they keep losing points like that, I don't think they're going to be able to reach that position.
Yeah, it's worrying. And I was talking to somebody yesterday and they were talking about sort of, the number of sort of Premier League rejects that Antonio Conte seems to have gathered together. And we talk about the talent in the squad, and there is a lot of talent. I'm not denying that. But does it feel like some of them have gone a little bit stale? You know, they've gone to Serie A, they've joined up with Inter. You know, and I'm talking about the likes of Ashley Young, maybe Alexis Sanchez, who isn't at his very best. He's nowhere near the player he was at Arsenal. Do you feel like Antonio Conte's approach of bringing in experience, players who have been there, done it, is going to be his undoing this season?
It could be. I mean, we talked in the last podcast about Arturo Vidal. Again, you have Arturo Vidal, and I think we all agree, 5 years ago, he was one of the top midfielder in the world. But you have the chance to sign Tonali, that is very young, and or Arturo Vidal. I think a lot of club would have gone with a youngster, especially in these days where you see a lot of youngster coming up, etc. Vidal is not a good choice. Kolarov, we already talked. Ashley Young, to be honest, last year started very well. When he arrived in January to Inter, he proved a lot of people wrong. Now he's struggling even because this is a very strange season. Let's not forget, every single Serie A team is playing every three days. And the problem with older players is that they struggle to recover physically and mentally. And this is what's happening with Inter, right? Ashley Young is not playing as well as last season. And that's one of the problems. Handanovic is a very old goalkeeper. This year, he's making mistakes he's not supposed to do. He didn't do in the past. So Lukaku got injured last match. He didn't start today. He didn't start against Sampdoria. And you can see the difference, right? He had to come in the second half to try to get Inter back. And this is a problem because we saw Andrea Pirlo resting Cristiano Ronaldo in a couple of matches. You have to in this very long season. And if Inter is forced to play Lukaku every single match, then the risk is that you're going to arrive in April, May, when the league is going to be decided and Lukaku is going to be knackered and not able to perform at his level. So, yes, I fear that this could backlash Antonio Conte at the end of the season.
Yeah, I certainly do. And as Sanjeev points out, he's watching us live at the moment. Big hello to everybody else watching us live as well. He says, is it Inter's mentality? They seem to struggle in important situations. We saw that in the CL last and this season as well. It does feel like it, doesn't it, Victoria, that when it comes to Groundhog Day for Inter, they struggle to get over the line.
Definitely. And especially here in Italy, they're all talking highly about Romelu Lukaku as one of the best striker in the world. I think he's very good, but what's missing with him is scoring in key matches. He didn't score against Juventus. In the decisive match of the Champions League this year, he didn't do pretty much nothing. Well, he saved a ball on the line that could allow Inter to go through. So that's why we all remember Lukaku. Same thing last year. So they went out of the Champions League, not only because of Lukaku, let's be honest, but in the key moments of the match, Lukaku have failed to perform. And this is one of the reasons why Inter in top matches haven't played as well. I think at the moment, Lukaku is the key player of this team. With Eriksen completely out, he's probably going to be sold this January if they find someone who will pay the fee they want. Lukaku is the key player, but he fails to scoring big matches, and this is a big problem because you want your top striker. You pay 68 million euros, if I'm not wrong, for Romelu Lukaku. You want a striker that scores against Juventus. Yes, a hat-trick against Spezia is important, but for 68 million euros, I want a striker who score against Juventus, Milan, Lazio, Roma, the top teams, and this hasn't happened.
Yeah, agreed. And just a quick one before we move on from Inter. Michael says, morning, Harry. Why were Inter prepared to sell Skriniar in the summer to Spurs of all clubs? From afar, he seems one of the best defenders in Italy. Would you agree with that, Vittorio? Is Skriniar, in your opinion, one of Serie A's top centre-halves?
Well, he struggled a lot because with Antonio Conte, Inter moved to the three-man defence. And we have to be honest, Skriniar is not perfectly fit for that type of defense, a three-man defense. In the national team, in the past, he always played with a four, and that's where he shined. So he struggled a lot, especially last year. There was a moment that he was benched by Antonio Conte. And so there were rumors this summer that Inter was thinking of selling him, obviously at a big fee, because he's a good player, especially with a different type of defense. He's been struggling, and this is one of the problems. I think a good manager is the one that goes in a team, find the players, and say, okay, this is a team for a 4-3-3. I will have to adapt and play a 4-3-3. I don't like that much players that come and say, okay, I play only with a 3-5-2 or with a 4-3-3, etc. So you players have to adapt. And this is what happened with Conte. Skriniar is perfect for a four-man defense. He's struggling with this type of tactic. Eriksen is a player that Inter spent a lot of money, but he's not suited for the 3-5-2. And we said it last year.
And they could have waited. They could have waited with Eriksen, couldn't they? And got him basically on a free transfer. But they were desperate to do it there and then, weren't they?
Yeah, because they thought, okay, we signed Eriksen in January. We're going to win the Scudetto this year. Instead, this didn't happen. And The question, Harry, is there some miscommunication between Marotta, the sport director, and Antonio Conte? Because Conte never gave a chance to Eriksen. So why did Marotta pay the fee, both the player, if the manager didn't like him? So, you know, these are question marks. And yes, Skriniar could easily finish at Spurs this summer. And still he's struggling with this three-man defense.
For sure. Don't forget, quick reminder, if you're watching us live, hit the like button. If you haven't already subscribed to the podcast, please do so. It's available on all major podcast stores. Just before we move on to the game between Milan and Juve, Vittorio, we have to give Sampdoria some credit, don't we, for Definitely. Their result yesterday. They're a side who we were talking on this show last season with Tommy that were in a really bad situation. Claudio Ranieri's come in as a bit of a stabilizer, hasn't he? And as you said, he's very organized and he's going to, in my opinion, achieve at least a sort of mid-table-ish kind of finish. Nothing spectacular, but Ranieri is a good person to keep you stable, isn't he?
Definitely. A manager with big experience, with a lot of experience. A manager who is able to reorganize the team. And it's funny because he took the place of Di Francesco twice now. Once at Roma, he came in and saved the club pretty much. And now he's doing the same with Sampdoria. And as I said before, he organized very well the team. He's able to study the opponent team and prepare some solution to complicate life of the other team, and that's what happened against Lazio, against Inter, etc. And Sampdoria has some interesting players. I'm surprised, for example, that Keita Balde is not starting more matches with Sampdoria. He's huge talent. He's a little bit crazy, but you know his talent is incredible. And you know they have Candreva as well, who I think wanted that revenge yesterday. It wasn't easy to play that match, especially knowing that the rumors that pop up in the last couple of days of Quagliarella signing for Juventus. You know, Quagliarella is their leader, top scorer, etc. Seeing your top player that could leave suddenly, I think Ranieri was very good to keep the players focused in that situation.
Just touching on those reports linking Quagliarella with a move to Juventus, it does seem a little bit strange to me that Juventus, and I know Quagliarella has been a brilliant player throughout his career, but at his age, are you surprised to see him linked with Juventus? And would you not expect Juventus to maybe go out and make an investment on someone a little bit more long-term? We're talking about a 37-year-old striker here.
Definitely. But let's not forget that this season is very different. Every team is lacking with money, and Juventus is not an exception. They struggled. They spent a lot of money. They should be trying to sell key players to recover. And so Quagliarella is the cheap option, right? They could get him for a low fee because, as you said, he's very old. And as we said in the last podcast, without Morata, Juventus haven't got a real number nine because Cristiano Ronaldo is not a number nine. Dybala is more at number 10. So Morata is out. He missed the match against AC Milan. And so I think they were looking for a cheap replacement. So yes, Quagliarella, I don't think it's at Juventus level, if you allow me to say something like that. But it's probably a cheap option. I don't think this January market is going to be, especially in Italy, completely different from the past. I don't think big clubs are going to make splash investment. I don't think Inter is going to sign a player like Eriksen this winter. And Juventus is in the same situation. If they find something exciting, something cheap, they're going to try to sign him, like Quagliarella. But otherwise, it's going to be quite complicated. I think it's going to be we're going to see a lot of loans with option to buy, maybe something like that, because there's no money. If in Serie A fans won't be allowed to go to matches anymore, I think a lot of clubs are going to lose a lot of money, and this will affect the transfer market.
For sure. It does feel like that is going to be the case for a little while longer as well. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the, as you say, the spending in January is very, very limited. Let's move on to the big game between Milan and Juve. Of course, Juve ending Milan's unbeaten run. We were full of praise for Pioli's side on the last podcast, and I don't think that we should take that away from them just after one defeat. But I was very impressed by the way Juventus dug in. And I was very impressed by Chiesa's finishing, Vittorio. His dad would have been proud of that, wouldn't he?
Definitely, definitely. And we saw a change with Chiesa, because when he's, this year when he started with Juventus, he wasn't impressive. There were a lot of complaints about his performance. To be honest, even in Fiorentina last year, he wasn't playing as expected. Everybody rated him so high and he wasn't performing that well. I think he needed time to adapt to a bigger club, a different situation, a different manager. But in the last two matches, we are seeing a very impressive Chiesa. He scored two nice goals yesterday. To be honest, he could have scored another one just after the first goal, and that probably would have finished the match. But yes, he's impressive. We have to be honest, AC Milan was missing a lot of players yesterday. We know that Ibra is not playing. They had a lot of other players out for COVID and an injury. Juventus started really well. I thought the first 10-15 minutes were probably one of the best of the season for Juventus. But after Chiesa's goal and he missed another chance, Milan came up. And they finished strong the first half. They scored, finding the equalizer, and had other couple of chances. And even at the beginning of the second half, we have to say that Milan was playing better than Juventus. What made the difference probably was the second goal of Chiesa. That's where Milan a little bit collapsed and said, oh, we're playing great football and they are ahead of us again. And maybe a little bit of fatigue came up. And that's where I think the depth of Juventus make the big difference. Milan already was missing a lot of key players, while Juve brought in a couple of talented players and they made the difference against Juventus, or against AC Milan. So, yes, give credit to Milan, because they were missing a lot of players. But, you know, when Juventus have the chance to bring in Kulusevski, that last year was, you know, the key players of Parma, and it tells you how much firepower Juventus have compared to other teams.
Yeah, of course. And they brought Artur on, they brought Benedeschi on, Weston McKennie, who obviously got the third goal. So you're right to make that point about Juventus's depth. It certainly helps. And I think particularly in a season like this one, where, as you pointed out, there are a lot of games coming thick and fast, it certainly helps, doesn't it, to have that depth. Just quickly, Vittorio, did you feel like there was a foul from Calhanoglu in the build-up to Milan's equaliser? Because that was quite a contentious point.
Yeah, it looked to me that the ref could have whistled there. We saw Juventus playing players at the end of the first half complaining with the ref about that. And honestly, knowing how ref works in Serie A, he could have whistled that foul. But I think it made the match more interesting, because if Juve would have finished the first half ahead, I think we wouldn't see that second half so interesting and exciting. So, yeah, I would probably would have whistled there. But, you know, it made the match exciting, and Juventus won at the end. So I think they're happy anyway.
Yeah, of course. Let's move on. Lazio, they moved to within 5 points of Juventus in fourth. And all of a sudden, it doesn't look so bad for Simone Inzaghi's side. Win over Fiorentina, goals from Caicedo and Immobile. We know Fiorentina have been out of form this season, Vittorio, but you must have been delighted to see Lazio pick up all 3 points and close the gap on the top four.
Yes, it was a much needed win for Lazio, because all the other team, well, except Napoli, have won. So not winning yesterday against Fiorentina would have been dramatic for Juventus, for Lazio hope for the Champions League. Again, unfortunately, Lazio played very well the first 45 minutes and struggled in the second half. And this is something that we are seeing every single week, every single match. On the other side, there's Fiorentina, that it's a little bit like Napoli. Well, Napoli for me has much more talent players, but still, Fiorentina has a very good squad and they're not playing amazing football. It's true, they lost Ribery in the first half. I said it last year. Ribery is 37. He was an amazing player, but you cannot expect him to play consistently and to play a lot of matches. They have Vlahovic, who is a very young striker. I like him a lot. I rate him very high. He has to make experience. He has to improve. But they have a very interesting goalkeeper in Dragoski, etc. They bought Amrabat from Verona, that last year was one of the most exciting midfielders. And still, they're not playing great football. They changed the manager. I don't think Prandelli is a very good manager anymore. So, yes, and they are nearly at the bottom of the Serie A. So that's concerning. On Lazio side, we see a little improvement, but they have to play 45 minutes. They have to play 90 minutes, not only 45. But Ciro Mobile is keeping scoring. I mean, he was injured. He didn't play. There was concern that he couldn't play because he didn't train the day before. Instead, he played. He played very well, probably the best, the man of the match, and he scored again. So that's the reason why Lazio won. But they have to improve, especially seeing what Roma, Atalanta, Sassuolo are doing now.
Yeah, for sure. And Immobile is one of those players, isn't he, at the moment in Serie A, that if you've got him in your side, you always have a chance. He scores with such regularity, as you said, putting a really good display yesterday. Just touching on Atalanta, they beat Parma by 3-0. Atalanta starting to show signs again, Vittorio, that they're on their way back to something like what they were?
I don't think so. They're really struggling this year. They sacked Liverani, who was, you know, an interesting decision because he was one of the rising manager, the rising youngster manager, who in the past couple of years, last year he was with Lecce, he showed some glimpse of talent, of very interesting football. The problem is you have to also defend, and he's struggling on that side. That's the reason why Parma is allowing a lot of goals, and Parma shouldn't be in that position, but they are now in the, you know, relegation situation, and it's getting complicated. So, and again, I see Parma, who has quality players, they shouldn't be there. So we'll see if the change of manager will help them, but it's a very tough season. So and playing against Atalanta had a month ago, a period where they were struggling. They were losing some strange matches. Now they're back again at the top form. Since Gomez has been benched, Atalanta is back to the form. Now, Gasperini said, we don't have to put all the blame on Gomez. It's not his fault. But the thing is, since Gomez has been removed from the starting 11, Atalanta is back on top form, and it's always tough to play against Atalanta because they run for 95 minutes and they play unbelievable football.
He's a very talented player, though, isn't he, Papu Gomez? Is he somebody that you look at from the outside, obviously, maybe even as a Lazio fan, and you think, you know what, it might be worth trying to go after this guy? He could improve a lot of sides, couldn't he?
Definitely. But the problem is it's going to be a very complicated winter transfer. Atalanta wants money for the players. Something around 10 million euros. At this moment, I'm honestly not sure any Serie A football club can spend 10 million euros on a player that is 34 years old. He's still good, but he's 34 years old. He wants something around 3 million euros of salary. So, you know, the rumors were that if Inter was able to sell Eriksen this winter, they could go after Papu Gomez. That probably would fit better in the Conte scheme than Eriksen. Apart from Inter, I don't know. Obviously, he would be great addition for Juventus, Milan, Inter, Lazio, Rome. All the big teams would love to have Gomez. But you have to think about the money as well. And, you know, with no ticket revenue, no match day revenue, it's hard to spend 10 million euros on Papu Gomez, that is still a great player, but 34 years old. How long can he last at top level? I don't know.
Yeah, no, great points. Great points indeed. Let's pick up some of your live questions. I can see there's a few in the chat. Let's address those before we wrap up. Let's have a look what we've got here. We've got Forza Roma from Claudio. Vittorio doesn't want to hear that.
But Roma is keeping... It's I don't want to say the biggest surprise because it's not. Milan has to be the biggest surprise. But I didn't expect to see Roma performing that well and being at that position now. As I said, Mkhitaryan, who scored again yesterday, is having a great season. They didn't have Dzeko. We said that without Dzeko, things could change. And still, they find a way to beat. Now, Crotone is a team that struggles a lot. It's not playing great football, or at least it's playing great football, but it's conceding too much. But Borja Mayoral scored, and he's proving everybody wrong. I mean, Roma could be the surprise. I didn't put it in the top four, but now you have to. And, you know, they had their problems because Dzeko missed a couple of matches for COVID-19. So, you know, now they're third. They really can reach the Champions League position, especially if Napoli keeps struggling, Lazio keeps struggling. So, big surprise. They did an incredible job this summer.
Every time you mention Mkhitaryan playing well, as an Arsenal fan, it feels like a knife in my heart. Because, you know, Arsenal have been struggling for creativity in that sort of role that Mkhitaryan feels perfect for. I know he didn't have a great time at Arsenal, but, you know, you look at the player and there's clearly talent there. So every time you say that, it really hurts, I've got to say. Big hello to Akhil joining us from India. How you doing, mate? Welcome to the show. Akhil goes on to talk about, he mentions Roma. We've already kind of touched on that, but we've already touched on Atalanta as well. But Vittorio, do you think Atalanta could be a dark horse for those Champions League positions?
Definitely, definitely. I thought they struggle a little bit 1 month ago, and this happened the same thing last year. In December, half November, Atalanta lost a lot of matches last year. Gasperini said we missed Zapata, that is their top striker, number nine, I would say. Last year got injured, and he said that was the reason. But they did the same this year. I think it could be a physical issue. You know, they had to play Champions League, Serie A, so maybe a couple of players were a little bit tired. But they are now back on top form, and Atalanta is a very dangerous team. It's a team that can beat any other team when they play at their level. They can lose against anybody, and we saw it already this season. But definitely, in this is going to be a very weird season, I think. It's going to be full of surprise. I mean, no one could expect Napoli to lose at home against La Spezia. This is what happened. So definitely, Atalanta and Roma can definitely fight for the Champions League position. I think that Milan, Juve and Inter will fight for the Scudetto if Milan keep up. Now we have to see how they react to this first defeat. But I think they will finish in the top three. So there's going to be a spot available, the last spot for the Champions League. And Atalanta and Roma are, at the moment, for me, the favorite for that position.
Brilliant stuff. Michael asks about Aaron Ramsey. He says he seems to be playing better for Juve now. He's had time to adapt after a rocky start. Vittorio, he asks, do you think he'll stay? Just kind of my thoughts on Ramsey last night. I saw an Aaron Ramsey that works hard, an Aaron Ramsey that runs a lot, which is what we always saw during his days at Arsenal. But I still saw an Aaron Ramsey who maybe doesn't always use the ball correctly in the key moments. Would you agree with that, Vittorio? How have you assessed his Juve career so far?
You know, he, as you said, he's someone that runs, fight a lot. I think he's making some silly mistakes, and you don't expect from a top player or from a player from a top club to make those silly mistakes. So there was rumors in the past month that Juventus could sell this player, even because he's often injured. And that's one of the biggest problems, right? Because if you cannot play because you're often injured, then you're not very useful for this club. But Pirlo, I think a couple of weeks ago, said that he loves Ramsey. He definitely rates him very high as a player. So, and we see it. When he's fit, he usually starts. So there were some rumors that Juventus could sell him. I don't think it's going to happen because Pirlo rates him very high. And, you know, the fact that he started yesterday in a very important match, he didn't play amazing, but he started, I think he played decently. So my impression is that Juve was expecting much more from him when they signed him.
Yeah.
But they're happy with him at the moment. And again, it's going to be a very difficult winter transfer market. So if they don't get the right money, they won't sell Ramsey because they will struggle to find a replacement.
Yeah, and of course, with Aaron Ramsey, it was a free transfer, wasn't it? Like, and Juve have done so many of those over the recent years. I know that there is a big sort of pay packet on the table, but with somebody like Aaron Ramsey, with no transfer fee involved, they didn't go and spend 40, 50 million euros to bring him in. The risk is, you know, if the investment doesn't pay off as much, obviously it's less of a risk, isn't it? And less of a strain on the football club. Big hello to Papos, who says, great podcast. Thank you so much. Thomas says, smash that like button, people. Forza Juve. Ooh, Vittorio's not going to enjoy that one either. You lot are trying to wind him up today. What's going on?
Well, you know, we have to be honest. After Inter losing against Sampdoria, I thought, okay, Inter, Juventus is going to win against AC Milan and they're going to go and win the season. It happens pretty much every year in the past years or so. Yeah. You find a team that suddenly looks to win the Scudetto, then there is Inter is always there fighting, then Inter loses a stupid match and Juventus go on and wins the Scudetto. Like last year, like right, Lazio beat Juventus twice in the Supercoppa final and in the league. And people started thinking, wow, Lazio can win the Scudetto, maybe Inter. And Juventus was struggling, to be honest, with the Maurizio Sarri. They didn't play great football. And then at the end, what happens? Juventus win the Scudetto. So this could be a turning point for the Serie A, even if it's January, still early, etc. But, you know, winning at San Siro against Milan that was undefeated, I think it could change a lot of things mentally for Juventus and for Milan.
It just feels inevitable, doesn't it, that Juventus are going to end up being there or, you know, going to go on to win it and be right at the top and the team to beat sort of in a couple of months' time. A little bit further down the line, I'm sure we'll see the table take a little bit more shape. Just finally, Vittorio, one last question. Peter Gunn says, g'day, fellas. I'm assuming he's joining us from Australia. How you doing, Peter? He says, is there any talk about Koulibaly? Now, Koulibaly was heavily linked with a move away from Napoli in the summer. He was linked with Liverpool. He was linked with Manchester City, you know, a number of clubs. That's gone a little bit quiet, hasn't it? Is that because Napoli or nobody has come up with an offer that is what Napoli feel he's worth? Do you think that he will remain at the club at least until the end of this season?
Well, I don't see him leaving this January, to be honest, but Napoli, without the Champions League, must make a big sacrifice. The rumors were last summer that Koulibaly could leave. Now, the problem was that Manchester City, that was the only club ready to make the offer Napoli wanted, had a big fight in the past with Napoli, the Jorginho situation, everybody will remember. He was very close to City and then things go another way. So City didn't wanted the player, but didn't want to talk directly to Napoli. And so this created the problem. But the thing is, Harry, is that you thought with Manolas and Koulibaly, Napoli defense should be amazing. Instead, they're struggling a lot. So maybe, you know, it's time to part away with players. Obviously, after the COVID-19, I don't think Napoli can get any more the price they were asking last year. But I think they still can get a lot of money, but this summer. I don't think they're going to sell it now, especially looking at the table. Napoli is not in the position they wanted. They hope it to be. So selling a top players now would send a very bad message to the fans. It would be I don't see it happening. But definitely next summer, I can see him leaving. And probably it's the best solution for both the team and the player.
If ever there was a time to upset the fans when you know you're going to have to, it's probably best to do it though while they're not in the stadium, I suppose, and they can't make themselves heard. Brilliant stuff, Vittorio. Thank you so much. That brings us to the end of this edition of Simply Serie A, our second episode of the week. A big thanks to everybody who joined us live, to everybody who's going to be listening to this back. Don't forget, you can subscribe on all major podcast stores. We've got a YouTube channel. Get following Vittorio at Vittorio Campa. Check out the Lazio Lounge as well, which is Vittorio's channel. And the biggest thanks goes to Vittorio for coming in, providing his expert insight into the world of Italian football. So thank you very much, my friend.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
No problem at all. Right, don't forget, like, subscribe, share, comment. You know the drill by now. We'll be back next week with another episode of Simply Serie A. Until then, take care. And most importantly, stay safe. Ciao.
Ciao, ciao.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.